Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to really unpack some compelling ideas from sources you might not normally encounter. Today, we're digging into something the source calls unshakable praise. Now, that might sound like it's just for good times, right?
Right. But this material actually flips that. It looks at how this idea becomes incredibly powerful precisely when life throws its worst at you.
Exactly. And our source for this is quite specific. It's an episode from the Faith Beans GP podcast, and it really zeroes in on Psalm 119, verse 7. The verse itself says, "I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws." That's kind of our anchor point today.
It really is. And our mission, you could say, is to explore what that actually means. How do you find or maybe cultivate that kind of internal steadiness, that focus, even when you're facing just immense loss or deep uncertainty?
Yeah.
What does unshakable praise even look like when, you know, whole communities are devastated by fires or floods or individuals are just lost in grief?
And the source doesn't pull any punches. It talks about exactly those things. People losing absolutely everything in forest fires, the sheer shock of tsunamis, even that sort of collective sadness when a well-known figure passes away unexpectedly. It's really about finding solid ground when everything feels like it's crumbling.
Precisely. So what we'll do is unpack what this upright heart really means in this context. Then we'll look at some powerful keys the source offers for, well, nurturing this state. And we'll bring it to life with some pretty compelling real-life stories that were shared in that podcast episode.
Okay, let's start there then, with this idea of an upright heart.
Yeah.
Because it seems so central. What is it, according to this source, if it's not just about, you know, being good all the time?
Right, and that's key. The podcast makes it really clear. It's not about perfection. It's not about never messing up or never having a terrible day.
Okay.
What's interesting is how they define it. It's presented more as a heart that's aligned. Aligned with core principles, maybe foundational truth. It's about honesty, inner integrity, regardless of what's happening outside.
Alignment. Okay.
Yeah, and they point out that even King David, who's credited with this psalm, certainly wasn't perfect. He had huge failings. But he seemed to grasp that this praise, this inner stance, wasn't really dependent on his fluctuating circumstances or his own performance. It was tied to something, well, more fixed, unchanging.
So less about perfect behavior, more about where your heart is pointed, sort of its default setting.
That seems to be the idea, an inner orientation.
Okay, so if it's about this inner alignment, not perfection, how does the source say this upright heart helps when you are facing those really tough challenges?
That's where it gets really practical. The podcast argues that, you know, in a crisis, our instinct is often to just shrink, to focus only on the problem, the pain.
Makes sense.
But this concept of an upright heart expressed through praise acts like an internal anchor. The source details a few effects. It shifts your focus, like deliberately looking away from only the problem towards something bigger. It also suggests it works to sort of cleanse the heart from bitterness that can easily take root, and it can interrupt that crushing weight of grief that tries to silence you. It's active.
It's an action, not just passively waiting for things to feel better.
Exactly. Not passive at all.
So let's talk about those modern losses the source brings up.
Yeah.
Because people are mourning right now.
Yeah.
Wildfires wiping out homes.
Yes, total devastation.
Or coastal communities hit by tsunamis. Or even that strange shared grief.
Yeah.
When a public figure dies suddenly.
Yeah.
Someone you didn't even know personally.
Mm-hmm. And the source emphasizes something critical here. In all these situations, the immediate temptation is just collapse inward, shut down. Isolate. But the idea here is that your praise, right in the middle of that pain, becomes this profound statement, an assertion of your inner resilience. It's an active response. You're sort of reclaiming your inner space from despair.
That's a powerful idea. Does the source give examples of this?
It does. There's a particularly moving story shared about a woman named Rachel, I believe in rural Canada.
Yeah.
She lost her family home in a wildfire, gone in less than half an hour. You know, photo albums, heirlooms, just everything.
Oh, wow. Hard to imagine.
Right. But weeks later, she recounted how she went back, stood in the ashes, and she just started to sing.
Singing. Amidst the ruins.
Yeah. She apparently said something like, "It wasn't loud and it wasn't pretty, but it was my survival." She felt that song reminded her soul, her core, that her strength, her connection to something deeper was still there, undamaged.
Wow.
And that story really highlights the first key the podcast pulls out for this unshakable praise. Understanding it's a choice, not just a feeling you wait for.
Back to the verse. I will praise.
Exactly. David said, "I will praise," not "I kind of feel like praising right now." So, when grief hits, the source suggests it's a decision. Decide to speak a truth aloud. Decide to find one thing, anything to be grateful for. Decide to sing, even if you're crying.
That really does shift the dynamic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It puts agency back in your hands when everything else feels completely out of control.
It does.
You know, you said this ties into learning. That's the second key, learning while praising. David connects his praise with learning righteous laws. Why is that link so important?
Yeah, this is really interesting. The podcast argues that these righteous laws aren't just, you know, a list of rules. They represent something more fundamental. Foundational principles, unchanging truths, maybe about life, about character, about how things work.
Yeah.
And the idea is when you understand these principles, when you really integrate them, it strengthens your core, your capacity for resilience, for what the source calls praise.
So how do you do that practically?
The source offers suggestions like keeping a journal, specifically noting what you're learning through the experience, engaging with content that inspires or teaches these principles, and crucially, seeing hard times not just as something to endure, but as an opportunity to actually learn something deeper, to explore.
That's a huge reframe. Instead of just getting through it, you're actively looking for what you can get from it.
Precisely. A shift from passive victim to active learner, even in pain.
Is there another story connected to this learning aspect?
Yes, there's another powerful one about a man named Samuel from Southeast Asia. He survived a tsunami, managed to save his young daughter, but tragically lost his wife.
Oh, heartbreaking.
Incredibly. He talked about how the waves didn't just take lives, they just crushed hope everywhere. But months later, he stood up in some kind of gathering and read that same verse, Psalm 119.7. And he apparently said, "I cannot explain why this happened. But I can say this, I will praise with what's left of my days."
Wow. That's profound.
Right. And the podcast uses that to illustrate truly unshakable praise. It's not because he had all the answers to the why, he didn't. But his heart had found an anchor in those deeper principles he was learning and holding on to.
That's incredibly powerful. And that seems to lead naturally to the third key you mentioned. Let praise be your testimony.
Right.
It's not just internal.
Exactly. It has this outward ripple effect. The source really emphasizes this. When you manage to maintain that internal strength, that posture of praise or resilience in the midst of visible loss, people see it.
Hmm?
Your neighbors notice. Your kids see it and remember. Your community feels it. Your response itself becomes this incredibly powerful, visible testimony. The podcast uses this beautiful phrase. It becomes a living sermon without a pulpit.
A living sermon without a pulpit.
Mm.
I like that. It's potent. A message conveyed just by how you navigate the storm.
Yeah. Powerful stuff.
So just to sort of wrap up the journey we took through this source material.
Yeah.
We've really explored this idea that praise, as it's presented here, isn't simply reacting when things are good. It's framed as a deliberate choice. An active process, something deeply connected to learning and realigning yourself, especially when life is difficult.
And it's vital to underscore that the source frames this not just as a private coping mechanism. It's seen as a powerful, visible testimony, something that strengthens not just you, but potentially your whole community. It's that living sermon idea again.
Yeah, it's about more than just personal mood management. It's about demonstrating a different kind of strength.
Definitely.
And the source did offer those practical steps too, things like daily reading or reflection on these principles, keeping a gratitude journal, even singing, all presented as ways to actively connect with and learn from those core truths.
Mm-hmm. And the ultimate takeaway, the core insight maybe from the source seems to be this. When you really engage with and learn these deeper principles, you start to discover this bedrock sense of purpose or meaning. And that, the source suggests, is what ensures your wellspring of inner strength, your capacity for this praise, never truly runs dry, no matter what happens externally.
Really compelling. It leaves us with a final thought, perhaps for you listening. If an upright heart, as this source describes it, isn't about being flawless, but about consciously aligning with truths you hold dear, what truths do you choose to align with when you face your own storms? And how might making that choice consciously, actively redefine your own resilience? Something to think about.